Hello, I'm Richard from Play It Green. Today, we're really excited to support the Hospitality Playbook podcast. Play It Green provides a unique sustainability initiative that is free to hospitality operators, where you simply add a removable £1 to each bill. For that pound, we'll plant not one, but two trees and give 10p back to a charity of your choice. And in return, we'll educate your whole team on sustainability and provide you with guidance, resources, and a network of sustainable hospitality solutions and services. We'll help you build robust ESG credentials. The result is increased consumer loyalty. Ready to embark on this journey towards climate-positive hospitality? Click the link in the show notes to find out more.
Awesome, and I've got Mike. Thank you very much for being here, mate. Lovely to meet you.
No worries, yeah, good to meet you too.
So we're talking about something which is a complete black box. It's a complete mystery for me, mate. So I won't have anything but dumb questions to ask on this episode.
Perfect. Yeah, no
worries. So just before we get into any of it, mate, can you just give us kind of, you know, a minute or two on who you are, what your business is, and I guess why this topic is relevant for you?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, so I'm Mike. I'm co-founder of Jolly. We're an influencer marketing app for hospitality and leisure clients. I guess real brief background is I kind of have a little bit of a blended background in that it was hospitality tech, and also I had a side hustle at the time, which I don't do much of anymore, but it was like a micro-influencer account in London. Okay. Where I was working with lots of brands and agencies, and I guess I noticed a little bit of a gap where the collaborations that were happening between these hospitality brands and influencers was quite a long admin heavy process. And we built some tech that just completely streamlines the process and also gives brands some measurable data and analytics behind their campaigns as well.
Brilliant. That's me. Superb. And your LinkedIn bio will be in the show notes as well. So if anyone wants to learn more about you or your business, they can click through there and you can connect with you on LinkedIn.
Great.
So I guess we should start by doing two things really, which are linked. We should talk about why you would want to use user-generated content in the first place, why it's actually like a good thing to get involved with, and then also what would happen to a business if they were, I guess, not using it in this day and age, because it's something which a lot of people are using. So they're kind of linked really. So let's just qualify the problem for us. Why yeah. Should people care about it?
Yeah, sure. I mean, I think for anyone that, I mean, we hear UGC, you know, being said a lot, and I guess most people might not even know what that is. Others will be very familiar with what it is, but I guess the rise in user-generated content has come about because social media platforms have changed, in particular Instagram and TikTok, you know, leading the way. But the way their algorithms are now set up is that they tend to be favoring real people and real humans in the content. So going back a couple of years, UGC was all around, you know, consumers creating content for brands, and it definitely still is in the most part. But what we also now see is there's a trend with, you know, UGC creators that are coming into the mix, and they might not necessarily be influencers. They could just be people that like creating, you know, wonderful content with them showing off products for certain brands. So I think if you look at Instagram and TikTok, and if you are looking down your own page, and my views are going to be very biased, so take it with a pinch of salt, but if you are looking down your page and it's still the kind of stock images or, you know, like highly professional photography shoots of your cocktails or kind of your menu, I believe that needs to be on your website and in your menu and not on those platforms, because on those platforms we really need to be tapping into the community engagement and real people and that human, authentic and relatable content, and there are stats out there to prove that they are outperforming other types of content. You know, we've got a lot of customers that are using this UGC style format for their own social media ads just because it's just landing with consumers a lot better. Yeah. We look at things like TikTok search and Instagram search, where you've got Gen Zs now using that function on where they're deciding to go for food, you know, or go and experience certain hospitality brands. They're not using Google and TripAdvisor anymore. They are searching for things like Bottomless Brunch or best places to go to in Leeds. And the things they're looking for in terms of the content when they are searching for that is, can I see some content from a similar person to me with similar interests that's going to show off the entire experience that I would potentially have? So that's, I guess, what customers and what we urge a lot of hospitality operators to do more of is when you're looking on Instagram and TikTok and you're using key search terms that are kind of around your brand, you need to make sure that there's real human relatable content that's showing off the experience in the best possible way. And it is normally these short form videos.
So I guess the idea is, if I see a piece of content from a brand, I'm more likely to trust it. If it's less polished, it looks, I can resonate with it because it's the type of thing I might create. It just feels a bit more like, it's got a bit more soul, and it feels a bit more it's not corporate, essentially.
Totally, exactly that. Yeah.
Okay, super. So would this apply to all hospitality brands?
Yeah, I'd say so. You're going to have the likes of even Michelin star restaurants or Nobu. It's very, very high end, and it's all going to be a lot about their offering is going to be, you know, the quality of the food they're producing. But I would still say even those types of brands will do well on TikTok and Instagram if they're perhaps having content around, you know, the chefs that are very skilled actually in the videos creating the food and showing people how it's put together. That sort of stuff's performing really well at the minute. I even look at like takeaways or cafes. Like there's a cafe in particular I'll go on to talk about in a minute that I'm a massive fan of anyway, but all of their content is around their customers and their staff, and it's that community feel that people can kind of relate to. So I think it's for all businesses, different sizes, different kind of like offerings. You need to be thinking about how can we get real humans in our content.
Yeah. Because I was thinking of like Michelin restaurants and high-end and stuff as you were thinking. And I guess there's, you know, because as I say, I'm a novice in this, and my initial thoughts are, well, user-generated content means like cheap off-the-cuff content that's kind of like made by young people. That was my original idea of it, but it doesn't have to be like that, because user-generated content by definition, I guess, means whatever your users are like. So let's say, for argument's sake, you've got a fine dining restaurant and your usual customer profile is somebody in their, you know, 40s, 50s or above. They'll still make content, but it would be very different to somebody like a taqueria who's, or you know, like a dive bar or something. And that's the way it should be, isn't it? Is that right? Am I thinking?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I mean, there's three ways. It's different ways we see a lot of hospitality brands using UGC or I guess people in their content. And you know, it could just be broadly like we'll go into in a minute, like using your staff to create the content. But it could be using your customers, which is, you know, where its origins from. There's also using, you know, micro influencers and nano influencers as well, because they are relatable, I guess, if it's celebrities and the kind of content they're producing looks very, you know, like paid partnership and quite fake, and it's not that authentic. If you go all the way down to these nano influencers, they are generally quite relatable to most consumers anyway. I would say those three kind of like brackets is a really good starting point in terms of how you can like really like change or kind of leverage that in your content.
Okay, so let's get into those then. So you just mentioned those three, so just clarify each of those one by one then. So which one do you want to start with?
We'll start with staff or people, because I like that one, and there's some really nice examples out there. Yeah, I think if anyone's listening to this, or you've got like a marketing manager that's super stretched, and you know they're like, oh God, I just haven't, there's not enough hours in a day for me to actually create all this content that's going to work for TikTok and Instagram, or you're like an owner operator and it's like, well, I don't even have a marketing manager, it's me, you know, like when I've got any spare time, there's ways you can like leverage other people to kind of get the social media content you need that will perform well. And I really like the ones doing it well for using their own members of staff. even in the retail space, you've got like Waitrose where you've got all these like parody like videos or kind of like trending audio tracks or trends on TikTok where they're just using their staff to do it. You've got the likes of Big Mama Group. I really like their stuff, or even, you know, a shout out to Antler. I know they do the socials for Rose's Tie. That's where they've got the founder of Rose's Tie kind of sharing her recipes at home. So it's really about how can you use your people to kind of like form, you know, a real core strategy or content type for your own social media channels. And you'll be surprised. I mean, a lot of this, you think about like retention with staff, but also how do we attract new kind of like young people into our business for hospitality operators is like a massive thing at the minute. Everyone's talking about. A lot of them are like Gen Zs that are kind of all over TikTok and Instagram. And, you know, like if you were to incentivize them to get involved with creating the content, you know, in partnership with their marketing teams, like they'll all love it. And you see some really, really good examples online of it. I would encourage that more than anything, because you can actually be quite reactive to trends with that as well. I think part of the problem is if you pay like a professional photographer or videographer to come in and create some wonderful content for you, that's great, but they likely can't be on hand every day of the week, you know, and TikTok trends just appear overnight. So if they do, it's a case of spotting them and actually, well, can we use our people to kind of jump on the bandwagon?
Yeah. It's interesting. I hadn't really considered using UGC other than for sales before we had this conversation. But as you were talking then, I was thinking, well, no, it's actually really relevant, isn't it? For example, showcasing your business is a great place to work, for example.
Yeah, still like, I mean, there's overall goals that a business would have. And I guess that would definitely be part of your social media strategy. But yeah, there's so many ways you can do it. Sales is definitely there. It's reaching new audiences. It's engaging with your existing. So I think loyalty comes into it as well. I think we start to kind of see social media differently. Once upon a time, it was all about reach and sales. And I think now it's just, there's a lot more to it. And creating amazing UGC on socials could actually be used for other channels as well.
Yeah. Okay, great. So what's the next one?
Yeah, I like the other one of just, I guess, is customers. And you know, there's creative ways. I'm sure a lot of people are doing them, and you know, I'd like to see some good examples. And but if you're not kind of, if you're thinking, well, how am I going to convince my customers to create content or be in it with me? But there's some really nice examples where you could, again, coming back to the loyalty piece, it's like, you know, could we incentivize our customers to tag us in their content to get to win a competition or to get a certain free coffee or free meal. Some really nice ideas. So I'm just going to go off the cuff here, but you could go, if you were a country pub and, you know, a lot of your customers were dog walkers in the area that stopped by for lunch afterwards, you know, could you do something around, you know, them creating really cute pics of their dogs or something and sharing it with you on Instagram and then maybe running a competition where it's like, we got a puppy of the month or whatever, and we're going to kind of like give away something for free for that one, you know, our favorite picture or our favorite reel, for example. So there's ways you could do it. You could do, I mean, if it was like a brunch offering, it could be, again, like trying to incentivize the type of content you want. If you've got like an all day brunch menu and you know that a lot of the content you see yourselves tagged in anyway is all of these egg pops from like a poached egg, so why not, again, incentivize customers to create more content of that? So could it be like a particular like competition where that you're asking them to create a certain amount of content to that you can reuse, but also it's engaging with your community, I guess. If they're doing more than just coming in for lunch, could be sharing nice stories of like, you know, local artists, or it could be getting, you know, kids to write in a poem about your roast. I don't know. And the winner gets a prize. I would look at like ways you can engage with your audience at the same time as getting them to create content for you, basically.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Really nice. There's examples outside of hospitality. I remember Trivago, the travel company, doing one where it was a certain hashtag and they basically gave away, you know, like vouchers or a particular, announced a winner for the best I guess, reel or picture of, you know, a hotel stay. And I think everyone fancies themselves perhaps as a content creator on Instagram and TikTok. So I think you can leverage that for sure.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Well, that's the thing. Everyone's creating so much content now. You know, my wife loves nothing more than to take what she thinks is a professional photo of a flat white on a Saturday morning. And it's like, she's not doing anything with that. Sometimes she'll post it to stories or occasionally, and she'll tag the venue in or whatever, but not really. And it's unbelievable how much untapped, you know, juicy content is out there, isn't it? Just sitting on the hard drive of somebody's iPhone and it's just not getting used. It's mad, isn't it?
Totally. Yeah, totally. And it does all the heavy lifting for you. Like, all of these things I'm talking about really just come down to, like, how do we get, like you said, content on tap without doing much? Like, it's just kind of like just a constant stream of content you can use or reuse in a number of ways for not actually doing much. So you don't need to have massive marketing teams. You don't really need to understand TikTok or Instagram. You're just letting other people do it for you.
Yeah. And that's one of the big sort of advantages and benefits I had in my mind when we came into this conversation, was the how low cost this is. Yeah. If you think back to more traditional marketing, let's say, or the way it used to be done years ago, where you would basically chuck a massive budget to a professional photographer, professional videographer, which still, I guess, has got its place, but that would be the only thing you did. And then you'd just litter all those over time on your feed, and then you'd have to get them back in the next quarter, spend another couple of grand to do the same. Whereas now you can do it much faster for much cheaper, right?
Yeah, totally. Well, the third one I was going to talk about was, you know, influencers or content creators. And I think that's the same thing, because when we first started, we did have some level of pushback, like a couple of years ago, going, oh, you know, I can't afford to give all these influencers free meals. But if you actually break it down on what their current marketing spend is or what they traditionally did, like, it's 11 times cheaper in some cases, because I know there's service and food costs involved, but for the earned media value you get back, or the content you get back with the associated reach, like, you know, you have other brands, like you said, trying to get snippets in magazines and press coverage and spending heaps of money on ads, but actually, like, influencer marketing or using content creators is a really low cost way of getting some good marketing out of it.
Mm. So have you got any tips for approaching, or approaching influencers? Let's assume somebody's not done it before, or maybe they've done it once or twice.
Yeah, I think as it's grown over the years, it's quite complex, I guess, with influencer marketing. Like, there's different categories of influencers, really, based on, I guess, level of reach and an audience and following. I think where we kind of like focus our efforts is all of these micro and nano influencers, these kind of smaller, often hyper local influencers that at a low level are kind of just new to the game, starting out as, you know, an influencer or content creator, where they tend to produce, you know, amazing authentic content, you know, with their perspective on it, and they're quite happy to do it at that kind of lower level in exchange for something gifted or seeded. That's where we kind of like focus. So yeah, it already exists. It's just done in different ways. But basically, if you're not using Jolly or an app like ours, then I guess a lot of it is having a look on social media yourselves for those kind of influencers that are perhaps relevant to your brand, whether it's location, it's style of content, it's category, maybe, you know, it's home cooking or foodies or music or fashion. We actually go out and kind of vet all of these profiles that exists on Instagram and TikTok, and then we funnel them into the app, and then basically match them to the brands and their requirements based on what they're looking for. But yeah, you can give complimentary experiences out to these kind of smaller influencers, and if they like it, which normally they would do, then they'll go on to post about it, and you get all that content and the reach that goes with it. So it's a really, like, this kind of UGC style, albeit done with kind of element of direction or using influencers, is really powerful, because it's a kind of win-win in terms of like getting multiple things. It's that reaching new audiences, but at the same time you're getting, you know, a certain higher quality UGC You'll probably know if you go on Instagram and you see these foodies, for example, where they've got voiceovers, you know, text, kind of like nicely styled text on the reels, and it's, you know, trending audios, and it's showing off the experience, not just the food, but, you know, the offering outside of the food that goes with it. So I would be looking at doing that. Of course, if anyone wants to reach out, we'd love to chat to them. But yeah, you can easily find them on Instagram and TikTok if you're looking for certain things.
Yeah, brilliant. Awesome. I love those three. And have you got any case studies of people who you've seen doing this particularly well?
Yeah, I guess there's one I'm going to do a shout out because I just think they're brilliant. And they probably touch all three really well in all of their content. And it's a little cafe in East London called I Pollici. They're quite well known, but they're legends, and you've got Anna and Nevu kind of run it. And in their content, you'll see those three themes in everything they do. They're creating content like on site where they're regularly featuring their customers. I think I saw one the other day, and it was one of their regular customers has come in, it's raising money for charity. They created a reel with that customer in it, and as well as them, to kind of raise awareness. Just super, super engagement on that with all of their regular customers. Other than that, they're using a lot of influencers to shout about their brand, where I'm assuming not a lot of it is paying influencers, because you've got these kind of like, you know, really reputable foodies in London that are coming there to create content just because they're lovely people. And then they're also, a lot of their content is, it's got them in the kitchen, like preparing the food. It's them outside in the queue, handing out free chips to all of the people in the queue. Like, nice. It's all around them, and it's all around the community and their customers. And I love that. So I'd go have a look at that, because they're just legends. Then I think you've got other brands doing parts of it like really well. I think, what have we spoken about? We've spoken about, you know, Big Mama Roses. I like the guys at Fallow, where it's the two head chefs like taking everyone through the full concept stage of how they're creating a dish, from idea through to, like, you know, the recipe and the execution. So I would have a look at just what's trending and what other people are doing. You know, you've got a lot of the, in TikTok in particular, got a lot of these street style interviews that are doing really well, like Top Draw lads are smashing it. So that's a good place to start, of like what's trending, and then thinking about those three things of like, okay, well, how could I apply that with our offering, and how would we work on, you know, our own people, our customers, and using influencers to kind of get that kind of message out to all of our new and existing customers, basically.
Fantastic. Brilliant. Super. I'm going to leave it there, mate, because loads of really actionable things that people can do in there, which was fantastic. So as mentioned, your LinkedIn bio will be in the show notes. But also, I'll ask you, if you don't mind, Mike, to send over the Instagram handles of the people you just mentioned there, because I'll put them in the show notes. That'd be quite useful as well, wouldn't it? Yeah. So if anyone wants to reach out to you and find out more about Jolly or how you can help them, please click over to Mike. And Mike, for me, thank you so much, mate. That was brilliant.
No probs. Thanks for having me.